This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4. It may not surprise you that even though, yeah, it has cooled down a bit, salad features in today's Cook the Perfect. So no real slaving over a hot stove is required. Yasmin Khan has written a cookery book called Zaytoun, which is Arabic for olive. And it's the result of her travels around the Palestinian kitchen. And today we make, well, she makes and I eat fattoush. Yasmin, what is fattoush?
Fattoush is just a classic Palestinian salad. For me, it's just exactly what I want to eat in these hot summer months. It's fresh, it's crispy, packed with kind of lettuce, juicy tomatoes, crunchy cucumbers. And what makes it uniquely fragrant is these big bunches of mint and parsley that I've got.
Now, you have the only slaving over the hot stove that's had to be done is crisping up the pita bread, yes?
That's right. You know, what makes food, you know, elevates food often is a contrast of textures. And that's what the toasted bread does. It gives it a lovely crunch that just adds a lovely, lovely depth to the dish.
And there you were chopping up, what kind of, was it romaine lettuce?
That was romaine lettuce. Any kind of crisp lettuce is what you want here. You know, iceberg's really good too.
Where did you actually find this particular recipe?
Well, I cooked this dish with a Palestinian singer called Reem Telami in Jerusalem. She's an incredible vocalist. And we spent a hot summer's afternoon, not dissimilar to this week's weather, actually, in her kitchen, where she kind of talked me through this classic dish and also, you know, shared with me stories of ordinary Palestinian life.
All right, so the lettuce has gone in the bowl.
The lettuce has gone in the bowl. It's a shame people can't smell what we're smelling.
I can smell it, and it smells wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, it's really enlivening.
What's she chopping up now?
Palestinian food.
Oh, that's a cucumber.
It's a cucumber, and I've de-seeded it because actually, you know, some people kind of say they don't like cucumbers, but it's actually only because they can be a bit watery. And so what I do with a spoon is I just scoop out the seeds. And this is a really good tip when you're making a salad, actually, because then you just get the pure kind of cucumber flavour.
So the cucumber's now going in. Now, you worked as a human rights campaigner for a very long time. Why did you move into food?
Well, you know, sharing stories has always been a big passion of mine. And I did that as a human rights campaigner, where I worked on issues such as Iraq, Afghanistan, Israel-Palestine, the arms trade. And what I really realised in my work is that when you're trying to shift people's perceptions, actually, the best thing you can do is share human stories. So that's what I do in my work. I travel around sharing stories from places more commonly associated with conflict and trying to really celebrate and honour cultures we don't get to hear from too much through their food.
Now, you have just broken up the toasted pita bread and put those in the bowl, and you have rapidly added, far too fast for me to follow what was going on, liquids and something else. What?
Yes.
What else has gone in?
So what makes this salad really delicious is an incredibly Yeah, astringent, tangy sauce, which is made from Palestinian olive oil, which you can buy anywhere in supermarkets these days, or local shops. Lemon juice, sumac, which is a classic Middle Eastern spice. I visited a sumac farm on my travels in the Galilee, which was quite incredible.
What is it? What does it look like, sumac?
Sumac is a berry. And to make the spice, you dry the berries in the sun and then you grind them down and you get this really sharp spice that is really great if you want to add a bit of, tang to a dish without lemon juice.
Now, you called the book Zaytoun Olive. Why?
Well, Zaytoun means olive in Arabic and also Farsi and Turkish. And I called the book that because really in Palestine, the olive tree and, you know, olive oil really represents both Palestinian culture, their connection to the land. And every Palestinian has an olive tree kind of in their garden. And this Palestinian literature is just filled with references to it. So if there was one ingredient that really epitomises Palestinian food, it is zaytoun, the olive oil.
So where, apart from Jerusalem, where you learned how to make this, did your travels around Palestinian kitchens take you?
Well, I went all over, really. I visited Palestinian communities in the north of Israel, in like Acre and Haifa, where the food is got lots of seafood in it and, you know, lots of tahini. Then I went over to the Galilee, where I kind of feasted and tried to make like hand roll, like baklava, filled with pistachios and beautiful kind of rose syrups. I went through the West Bank, where I harvested olives and during the olive harvest, and cooked with refugees in Bethlehem, where I learned how to make this incredible roasted chicken with, again, sumac and peppers. And then I even, found time to have a drink with workers at the Tiber beer factory, which makes the Middle East's own first artisan beer.
Alcoholic beer?
Absolutely. I mean, 30% of Palestinians are Christian. So, you know, there's a wonderful wine industry. They make incredible beers, beautiful arak.
Now, I'm sure there were lots of conversations about what is authentic Palestinian. What's Israeli? How much do the things cross across each other? How do you define yourself? What is actually authentically Palestinian?
Well, you know, Palestinian food has evolved through several millennia of different influences, whether they're Islamic, Jewish, Roman, Persian, Ottoman. It's a real medley. And I think that for me really represents food and people of the region. You know, people of many different cultures and backgrounds and faiths have lived together in that very small bit of land for thousands of years. And for the most part, have been able to do so very harmoniously. And that is really a message that I received strongly as I travelled through the regions, that whilst Palestinians are facing many hardships at the moment, they also have a rich a rich enjoyment and celebration of life that is rooted in the land and rooted in food.
But I know some of them asked you why you focus only on food when politics is such a long-standing hot topic. How did you answer them?
I mean, it was such a good question, and I think how I answered them was this, there is no doubt that Palestinians are going through incredible hardship, especially in places like Gaza, where when we talk about food, 80% of them are dependent on food aid to survive. 90% of the water is undrinkable. But despite those hardships, I thought it was so important to try and use food as a way of sharing stories from Palestine and from Palestinian communities that built empathy, that showed connection, and just showed ways in which we can use food to celebrate our common humanity. Because I think actually, in today's world, that's more important than ever.
You've put some cheese in.
I have, because, everything tastes better with a bit of feta. And also, this kind of sharp goat's cheese, again, adds a nice bit of salt that you want.
OK, listen, I'm going to taste it and comment upon it later in the programme. And I confess, I have been eating my very early lunch, the fattoush made by Yasmin Khan, whose book is Zaytoun. It was really, really good, Yasmin. It's crunchy, it's fresh, it's zingy. Would you agree?
It's exactly the kind of food you want to eat in these kind of summer months.
It's zingy. That's the best word to describe it. You can download any edition of Cook the Perfect by going to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.